I heard a story about a candlestick maker. About 100 years ago, there was a candlestick maker who would stop at a market and he would buy fish for his evening meal. It was wrapped in ordinary paper and the paper would become soggy. And the passengers on the streetcar always complained about the odor. One morning, he's a candlestick maker. He took the paper and he dipped it in molten wax. And that day he wrapped his fish in the treated paper and it didn't become soggy and there was no odor. That's how waxed paper was born. So if you got a problem, don't curse it, look for a cure. Amen. And the point is, he took his problem and he turned it into profit. You know, everybody loves the word opportunity, but we hate the word problems. But what would you think if I had you write down all of your past problems on a piece of paper? And then if I had you write down all your present problems beneath all your past problems, and you wrote out all the different problems that you're facing and that you're dealing with, write them on a piece of paper, what would you do if I said to you, therein lies your greatest opportunities? You see, here's what we must learn, that life's greatest opportunities come disguised as problems. It's absolutely true. Life's greatest opportunities many times come disguised as problems. And I believe that quote came from your dad, Brother Jim. I think he gave, Brother Giles Bohannon would give me these little cards with little quips and sayings on them. Pretty sure that one came from him. That life's greatest opportunities come disguised as problems. I remember him coming in and handing me that card one morning when we would have prayer. Remember that, Brother Ben? When we would have prayer with Brother Giles Bohannon on Sunday morning, he'd always give me a little card with a saying on there. And he would always hand it to me, and I'd look at it, and I'd read it, you know, to myself. And when I'd look up, he'd be smiling at me. And he'd say, well, that's true, isn't it, Brother Dan? That's true. And I'd say, yeah, that sure is, Brother Giles. That's good. And life's greatest opportunities come disguised as problems. You know, you got to find opportunity in your problems. And man, this just goes along so well with Brother Shannon's testimony. And I'm so glad I had you do that, because that what you said is going to tie in so perfectly with what we're going to talk about tonight. Look, everybody in here, you've been through heartache. We've been through situations in our life, many of us, where we felt like our heart's been ripped out. And we felt like our heart's been ripped out and it's just kind of just been, you know, like this. And you know, sometimes you'll take a washcloth, you know, or you're doing your dishes, you know, and you got that, and you wring that thing out, you know. And sometimes you feel like your heart's just being wrung, you know. And what I want you to see tonight, though, is that those problems can give you a great opportunity. How is that? Well, there's two thoughts that I want to give you, and I've got to get there myself. If you're not there, go to John 15. I need to get there. But look at John 15 with me. And I want to read here a few verses to you. Look at verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And so tonight I want to give you two simple thoughts here about the problems that we face and how we can find opportunity. The first is this: You can find opportunity in your problems by, number one, allowing your problems to draw you closer to God. This may come as quite a revelation to some of you, but did you know that God wants to have a close relationship with you? Listen, you are His creation. We know that our sin and our disobedience are what keeps us from being close to God. In fact, Ephesians 2 describes us as being aliens. It uses the term strangers. It uses the term without God in the world. And we know that sin has created that barrier between us and God. But aren't you thankful that God wanted so much to have fellowship with His creation? He gave His best. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world so that we could be reconciled to Him. John 12, look there. You're right there. Look at John 12. Go back to chapter 12 and look at verse 32. Look at that verse. John 12 and verse number 32. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will," and what's that next word? Draw. Come on, say it again. Will what? Draw. "I'll draw all men unto me." Hey, what's the good news that we preach? What's the good news that we proclaim? It's like Caleb said a minute ago when we were doing the singing. And that is that every single man and woman can be reconciled and be brought into a relationship with Almighty God. You know, that verse that we talked about where it said you're strangers from the covenants of promise, it talks about how that you are without Christ. It uses the term without God in the world. It says that we're aliens, you know. And it uses these, Colossians talks about how we are enemies of God by wicked works. And the Bible describes us as being alienated from God. But then Ephesians 2:13 goes on to say, oh, I'm so glad that that verse is there. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, you've been made nigh." That means you have been made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. So now we've been brought near. God, aren't you glad God wants us to be near? Amen? Man, I'm so thankful for that. I'm so glad that God wants us to be close to Him. He wants us to be near unto them. Man, I'm so thankful for that. We've been brought near by the blood of Christ. The moment that you are saved, God's very Spirit comes to live inside with you forever. If any of you in here, if you doubt whether or not God loves you, whether or not God accepts you, whether or not God wants to be with you, man alive, get into the book and study it. He wants to be with you so much that He put His Spirit inside of you. His very Spirit inside of you. Look back at John real quick and look at chapter number 14. Flip over there real quick. John 14. Look at verse 16. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide," what? "With you." How long, church? Forever. Are you thankful for that? Say amen, huh? Now, look back at John 15, and look at verse 5 again. "I am the vine," Jesus said, "ye are the branches." Now, He's talking to Israel. The true doctrinal context of this goes back to Israel is the vine of God on the earth, and they weren't abiding in Christ. We know that they rejected Christ as a nation. One day they will receive Christ, and all Israel shall be saved. They'll be the vine, the fruitful vine on the earth, and the blessing to the earth that God intended them to be. But I think there's some doctrinal application that we can make. You know, Paul uses the analogy of us being a branch. And in Romans chapter 11, he talks about Israel. You know, they were supposed to be that vine and that branch, but then they rejected Christ. He said, "We have been grafted in, and we are partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree." So Paul uses that analogy of us being branches. And Jesus said, "I'm the vine, ye are the branches." You know, it's not about us, folks. Here's the thing. We're a branch. And we're grafted into that tree. Praise God, He grafted us into the tree. But you know what? It is not all about us. It's about Jesus Christ. The choir does a song. In fact, we're going to be doing it next Sunday morning. that it, Jesus, it's all about you. It's all about you. He's the tree. We are the branches. We are connected to Him the moment that His Spirit comes to live within us. And you know what the first law of branches is? The first law of branches is stay close to the tree. Why? Because branches tend to wither if they aren't close to the tree. Look at verse number 6 in John 15. He said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them, and they, what do men do with those branches? They cast them into the fire. They're burned. I remember my dad would do that. He'd get leaves, and he'd get the branches and stuff, and those, that old stuff that fell off the tree, and he'd gather it up. And how many of you remember the days when they let you burn all that stuff out on the street? You remember that? And, man, you'd just take it out there, haul it out. And I remember I'd watch my dad light all that stuff on fire. Whoo, man. You know, we lived in a residential neighborhood there in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. And, man, you'd just burn all your stuff right there on the side of the road. Nobody cared, you know. But he would just take that stuff out and burn it, you know. Well, the first law of branches is stay close to the tree. The word abide, when Jesus said abide in me, there, look at verse 4. He said abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you. You can't bear fruit except you abide in me. The word abide means to stay close to. It means to remain. So Jesus is staying here. He's saying, stay close to me. Stay close to me. Did you know that God does not just want a surface relationship with us? He wants deep, intimate fellowship with you. And I think about that verse where Paul said, and this is after Paul had been saved a while, and he cried out that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I thought, wow. That here's Paul saying that I may know him. Paul wanted to know him in a deeper way. God doesn't want a, you know what I mean by a surface relationship. Don't you think sometimes we treat God like the waitress at the restaurant? You know what I mean? We just kind of treat him like the way, you know how you have surface talk, you know, and you kind of have casual talk? My wife does that more than I do with the waitress. I just kind of sit there and listen, you know, as she talks. And it's so funny because she'll start talking with them, and before it's over, you know, we hear people's life stories, you know. But it starts out just surface talk, just casual talk, you know. And, you know, I think so many times, though, we treat God that way. We treat God like it's some kind of a surface relationship. God said, abide in me. Abide in me. Stay close to me. Now let's talk about problems. You see, when problems come into our life, the problems that we face throughout life, and by the way, how many of us are going to face problems? And it isn't that God's up in heaven pushing buttons and pulling levers and sending those problems into your life. God knows that they will come very naturally into your life. Problems aren't something God has to send. That's just part, that's an intrinsic part of life, is problems. And you're going to have problems and heartaches. And like I said, you're going to feel like your heart's been torn out of you. People are going to let you down and disappoint you. You're going to see loved ones that you love dearly that are going to die, and they're going to, you know, go on into eternity. You're going to go through problems in your life. Maybe a child rips your heart out, you know. There's different things that we go through in this life. Health problems. Financial reversals. I mean, just on and on and on we can go. And I mean, then it can just be something as simple as the car breaks down. Anybody ever go through that? Huh? The car breaks down, you know. And it's just, you know, the air conditioner of the house goes out. Now, have you ever noticed that happens in the middle of the summer when that happens, right? It just happens in Florida. It always happens in the summertime, never in the winter. The AC goes out. And so, you know, problems are something that we face throughout life. They're always going to be there, church. But I want to submit to you, the problems of life should cause us to turn to God and draw closer to Him. To discover more about Him. to know Him in a more personal, intimate way. Those problems should lead us into a deeper relationship with Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me keep your bookmarker here. We're going to go back to John 15. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's look at a great cross-reference here. We're going to flip a few times here tonight, so have your Bible ready. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And chapter 12 and verse 7. Chapter 12, verse 7. Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations," he says, "there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." In other words, Paul could get too big for his britches and think that he didn't need God. And so he has these problems, whatever the problem is. He calls it a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what it was. It's a problem, okay? Verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it might depart from me." Hey, how many of us, we want problems to depart when they come? Amen? Amen? I mean, I think we all do. We want them to depart. We want them to go away. Problem, go away. So he said, "I besought the Lord three times that the problem would go away." Look at verse number 9. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake." Distresses. Isn't that something, that word? Distresses. He says, "I take pleasure." Why? "For when I am weak, then I am strong." What does he mean by that? That he's not talking about physical strength here. No, we know Paul many times was very weak physically. And he mentions that several times. What he means there is, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. What he means is that he's depending on Christ. And Christ's power and Christ's strength is working through him. When I am weak, then I am strong. God, when problems come, have you noticed that God doesn't wave a magic wand and eliminate our problems? Now, we wish that He would, but as I said, problems are an intrinsic part of this sin-cursed earth. Problems are always going to be with us. They're always going to be there. And, so God doesn't wave a magic wand and he doesn't make the problems go away. Sometimes the problems are self-induced. Sometimes we're our worst, we're our own worst enemy. We shoot ourselves in the foot. I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it. We make a stupid decision, We make bad choices. And many times problems come into our life just because of bad choices that we make. Sometimes it may be satanic persecution. Sometimes it may be just the fact that, man, we live in an imperfect world that's cursed by sin, and so problems and heartaches come. Whatever the reason is, God does not wave the magic wand, and he does not eliminate the problems and the suffering. But I will say this, when the problems come in our life, you know what God does want to do? He wants us to seek His face. He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to turn to Him. He wants us to draw nearer to Him. He wants us to not get calloused towards Him. He wants us to draw closer to Him. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Problems can drive you away from God, or they can drive you to God. That's your choice. Every branch has to make its own choice. Every branch has to make its own decision. Problems come into our life. And a lot of times what happens is problems come, and have you ever noticed how they have a way of getting our attention? Can I get an amen out there, huh? Problems get our attention, don't they? I mean, it's like sometimes we can kind of, start coasting in our life. And we can just kind of, put it in neutral and just kind of coast along. And all of a sudden this problem comes that's bigger than us. This problem comes that's bigger than our ability to figure it out. And you know what? At that point, we've got to make a decision. Either we shake our fist and say, "God, why are you doing this to me?" Which is one of the dumbest things we could ever say. All right? Or we can say, "God, man, I got a problem, and this problem's a lot bigger than me, but I know it's not bigger than you, and I know your grace is sufficient, and right now I need your strength, and you know what? I'm going to take this problem as an opportunity to draw into a closer, more intimate relationship with you. And that's what God wants. That's what God desires. But we have to decide whether we're going to move closer to God or whether we're going to step away and we're going to move farther away. Which, by the way, y'all ever seen the little saying? Probably came from your dad too. But you ever seen the little saying? It says, if you don't feel as close to God as you used to, guess who moved? Guess who moved? It wasn't God. He's right where he always was. He's right where he always was. 1 Peter 4:19 talks about committing the keeping of your soul unto him that is a faithful creator. Commit the keeping of your soul to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. God said to Israel, how often would I have gathered thy children together? As a chicken would take its, as a mother hen would take its little chickens and gather them under her wings. He said, how often, he said, would I have gathered you under my wings, but you would not. You would not. You've got to make a decision. You have to make a choice. You see, if you want to find opportunity in your problems, allow your problems to draw you closer to God. Whatever it is you're going through tonight, I can assure you that God cares. God cares. He does care. You say, how do you know he cares? Because that book tells me he cares. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he what? Careth for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares. He cares. And he wants you to draw near to him. Whatever the problem is, whatever the heartache, whatever the suffering, whatever the pain, God wants you to draw near to him. But there's one final thing I want to look at. And I want you to go to John 15 again. Would you do that, please? I told you to keep your bookmarker there, and I hope you did. Look at John 15, and the second principle and the last principle I want to give you is if you're going to find opportunity in your problems tonight, and this goes right along with what Shannon's, I couldn't believe that you were saying what you were saying. It was like you preached it before I preached it, and that's okay. Finding opportunity in your problems. How do you do that? Here it is. You ready? By using your problems to help somebody else. And that's exactly what he said. He said, we are training people in Freedom Found to not just help themselves. He said, we want them to be able, yes, to help themselves to be free, but then to help somebody else to be free. Hey, whatever addiction or whatever problem that we struggle with in our life, do you think somebody else is struggling with that too? Yes. And they need help. They need somebody to reach out. I said the first law of branches is stay close to the tree. The second law of branches is this, be fruitful, not barren. Be fruitful, not barren. Got a picture here of a, I hope I do. I don't know. Did we get it? There it is. And you see this fruitful tree, right? You can leave it up for a minute. Just leave the picture up for a minute. God's plan is for you as a branch to be fruitful. Look at verse 4, John 15. He said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except you abide in the vine. And then he says, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much, what? Fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. He went on to say later on, look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified. How is the Father glorified? That you bear what? Much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Go to Philippians. Now, I want to leave this because I want to look at one other passage, Philippians 1, all right? And I'm not sure if we're going to turn anymore after that. But go to Philippians where Paul wrote this. Look at Philippians 1 and verse 11. Look at this. Look at God's desire for you as a believer in the church age. Notice he says in Philippians 1, In verse 9, how did Paul pray for these people? Look at verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled. Now look, this is how he prayed for these people. Being filled with the what? Fruits. Say it again, with the what? Fruits. The fruits of righteousness, where do they come from? Which are by Jesus Christ. Hey, isn't that what we read in John 15? You got to abide in him. You abide in him, you bring forth fruit. Paul said, you know what? God's will is for you to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. He said, you know what though? They come by Christ Jesus. You got to abide in him. A branch does not bear fruit so that it can keep the fruit all to itself. In fact, if a branch does that, eventually the fruit will rot on the branch if it just sits there. It'll eventually rot. Y'all get that? So a branch bears fruit for others. It bears fruit so that others can come, pick it, and it can bring pleasure to others. And that's God's plan for our lives. Bear fruit and thereby bless others. You see, problems, when they come into our life, they can provide pruning times that provide us the opportunity to be a greater blessing to others. If you read on there in Philippians 1, look at verse 12. Remember, Paul's in prison. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have not... Notice, he says, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Man, I love that. We talked this morning about having a positive attitude. Paul's in prison, and he's like, hey, guys, I just want you to know, yeah, don't feel sorry for me. I know I'm in prison. I know I'm going through trials. I know I got problems. But I just want you to know, guys, that the problems that have come into my life, I want you to know the result is the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul said, man, I want you to know there's some really good stuff that's come out of these problems. I want you to know that there's some really good things that have happened. And he said, one of the things is that my bonds are manifest in all the palace. Later on, he writes about how I salute you and those that are of Caesar's household salute you. Paul had the opportunity to lead people to Christ there in the palace, because his bonds were made manifest in the palace and in all other places. And he said, you know, there are guys out there that are more bold to preach Christ because of what I'm going through. When you're going through a problem, you have to remind yourself of two things. You know what the first thing is you got to remind yourself when you're going through a problem? The first principle is this: I am not the only one. When you're going through a problem, you got to remind yourself, I am not the only one. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5:9, he said, the same afflictions that you're going through are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The same afflictions. You're not the only one, Peter said. They're accomplished in other people in the world. Remember Elijah? Elijah, he kind of got on a pity party, didn't he? And Elijah told the Lord, I am the only one that is standing true. I am the only one that has never bowed my knee to Baal. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. I'm the only one, God. God said, oh, no, you're not. I got 7,000 more like you. You see, when you're going through a problem, you got to remind yourself, I'm not the only one. But you know what the other principle is? When you're going through a problem, remind yourself, I'm not the only one. But then the second thing is remind yourself, others need my help. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 1. Pastor Shannon mentioned it earlier in his testimony, and it was incredible how you prepared hearts for the message. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and let me show you this, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and look at verse 4. He mentioned this. Remember verse 3? Pastor Shannon said how that God is the God of all comfort, verse 3. Verse 4, Pastor Shannon mentioned, He comforteth us in all our tribulation. Hey, how many of you are glad for God's comfort when you're going through a problem? Amen? But now why does He comfort? It's what he said earlier. God doesn't comfort you just so you can say, oh, wow, God comforted me. Now, yes, that is precious. And, yeah, you want to be able to say that, and you want to be able to say our first point tonight, you know what? This problem has driven me into a deeper relationship and fellowship with Christ. I know Christ better now because of this problem. I've allowed this problem to drive me to my knees, and this problem has led me into a deeper relationship with my Savior. But then the second part of that's in verse 4. Look at it. He says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. That's that personal aspect. But then notice, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Y'all see that? I'm not the only one, and others need my help. Problems can be a preparation process that God can use in order to prepare us to help somebody else. Bible talks about being a meat for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. The problems and the trials and the heartaches and the painful experiences of your past, they're not just simply there for you to say, oh, that's a tragedy in my past. They're there because God will take those things, He'll use them for His glory and for the help of somebody else. Brother Wade, when you were playing baseball, I'm sure there were many disappointments, trials, especially as a believer, and there were things that you went through that I'm sure were painful. Those experiences will help you to minister to those guys here in town. Really, they will. You can minister in a way I can't. I haven't been there. You have. And when they don't get the call up, you know, to the next level, or they got an injury, you know what that's like. You know what it is to have a serious injury. You know what it is to have that pain of being sent up, maybe to be sent back down, or to not get up at all. And you know what that's like. And Brother Wade, see, those problems and those painful things that he went through, God can use them to reach some of those guys for Jesus Christ that play there for the Reds here in town. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, Pastor Shannon, the reason why he's able to help the people with Freedom Found is, man, he's been through some pain himself. He's been through addictions. He knows the pain. He knows the shame. He knows the heartache. He knows what that feels like, all that. And he knows the answer. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. And so he can take his past and use it to help somebody else. Some of you in here have some real painful past, you know, and maybe it was the death of a loved one. The Schoenwetters lost their 40-year-old son, Jeff, to a rare cancer. But I'm going to tell you something. Those folks are faithful to do Grief Share every week. They're here on Monday night. You're here on Monday night doing Freedom Found. They're here on Monday night doing Grief Share. And here you got a guy who's had painful past. He's using it to help at Freedom Found. They've been through pain. They're using it to help people in Grief Share. Isn't that exciting? It's exciting when you see believers who are taking those problems from their past and using them to help somebody else. I haven't shared this a lot through the years, and a lot of you probably don't know this, But Denise and I, we lost a child and miscarried before Clint was born, our first child. And then we prayed and prayed, you know, after Clint that we could have another child. Finally, she got pregnant. We had just announced it, you know, and we were all excited. And not long after that, she miscarried that child. And we miscarried two children. And it was painful and it hurt. But I can't tell you how many people we've been able to help through the years, through that painful experience. People we've been able to help just because we're willing to share it. We're willing to share it, and we're willing to talk to people about it. And the things in your past, God can take those if you're willing to share them. I promise you there's other people going through that. And God can use you to help somebody else. I'm telling you, He can. And some of the biggest trials and setbacks and painful things that we've gone through can actually be some of our greatest ministry opportunities. Maybe you're here and you were abused as a child. And there are other people that have been through that, and they need ministering to. They need help. They need to know that there's answers for that in Christ. Maybe you've been through marital problems. God can take that and use that to help somebody else. Yeah, I think about that trial that the Costanzas have been through. And I think about Tony and John, and those of you that were in the 9:30 service didn't hear this. I shared it because it didn't happen until after the 9:30 service. But you guys know that Anthony was, how old is Anthony? 10? And Anthony got a sickness. To this day, they haven't been able to diagnose it, to where it progressively got worse. He went from a healthy 10-year-old boy going to school last year during Bible conference in April, and the day after Bible conference, he got sick and sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker, and they didn't know what was wrong, still don't know what was wrong. It got to the point where he was paralyzed and could not talk. And I told the 11 o'clock service this morning, the blessing, he was back in the hospitality talking a blue streak to me this morning. He woke up Thursday morning talking. He got his speech back. Amen? And I don't mean just a little bit. They said he hadn't shut up for 48 hours. I had my mic on still in the hospitality room. First thing he said, I said, Anthony, it's good to see you. First thing he did is he looked at me and he said, is that mic still on? He wanted to make sure y'all weren't listening in on our conversation, I guess. But you know what? As painful a year as this has been for Tony and Jonna, don't you know they're going to have the opportunity to minister to other parents because of what they've been through. Remember, some of your greatest opportunities come disguised as problems. Have you found opportunity in your problems? I think about our deaf ministry over here, and Brother Cody, what a blessing that is, and what a blessing you and your workers do working with the deaf. And I think of when I see that, I think about the Bill Rice Ranch, and I'm not sure if any of them have been there. If any of them have been to the Bill Rice Ranch before. You have? Okay. And the Bill Rice Ranch, Bill Rice's daughter was born deaf. That trial led to the formation of what they call the Bill Rice Ranch, which has ministered to thousands upon thousands of deaf, and it has seen thousands of deaf come to Christ through the years. Trial, problem, and it led to such an opportunity. You see, all of us are faced with a decision. We can take our problems, we can wallow in self-pity. Why has God mistreated me? Or we can choose to find opportunity in our problems. Can I share one thing with you and I'm done? How do you find opportunity? Here we go, you ready? Let's sum it up. by allowing your problems to draw you closer to God. Now listen, what does that mean? God wants to do a work in you. He wants to do a work in you. And then we said number two, by using your problems to help others. And you know what that means? God wants to do a work through you. He wants to take your problems and do a work in you, abiding in Him, drawing nearer to Him, and He wants to do a work through you to be a blessing to others.